Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, helping you to stand out and to get ahead. Today, of course, we are broadcasting live to our Facebook audience. And podcast listeners, if you want to be notified when we go live on Facebook, just go to the LeadX Life, L-I-F-E, LeadX Life page on Facebook, like the page, and turn on notifications. And today, of course, is the weekly wrap-up show. We get to take our time. We chat about really anything that's on our mind. And of course, we take your questions, the ones you've submitted in advance, and if anybody has questions from our Facebook friends. And of course, on our weekly wrap-up, I am joined by LeadX editor Tara Millett. Hello there, Tara.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm still riding the high. We had a nice team meeting yesterday, full day.
Full day, which listeners don't realize, it's not often that we actually see each other in person.
Mm-hmm. No, it was really nice. It's so easy to just ping and message back and forth during the day to just someone's name. And then you forget, oh, yeah, that's actually a human person that I can talk to and interact with.
Yeah, so, yeah. We have a small team. We're all in the greater Philadelphia area, but like we just don't see, I don't know, the value in doing that 30 to 60 minute commute each way into an office and all that stuff. So I think most of us are digging the work from home or work from wherever vibe, you know. But yeah, we did do a team meeting yesterday, which was good to all get in the room and figure out how we're going to conquer the universe and go eat lunch at Marathon Grill, which
it was so good. It was
I think
so
I'm
good.
There like every week. It's
really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anytime I'm in Philly, like at the condo and stuff, like I end up having breakfast there or whatever because it's so close and convenient. But anyway.
Yeah,
they don't call me by name. They don't say, hey, Kevin, nice to see you again. I'm a little offended by that. But
yeah, we got to see your apartment too, which was very cool.
Yeah, yeah. Good Lick. Views out the
yeah.
window.
Very beautiful. But yeah, that was great. And I actually got leftovers, but they didn't last. My boyfriend immediately jumped on them and I never got to revisit that really great turkey sandwich, but that's a great restaurant. So if anyone's in Philly area, we suggest Marathon.
That was good. He was feeling a little under the weather too. So I guess this was his.
I know it's happening. Yeah. The cold season's kicking up. I'm trying to just, you know, plug as many vitamins in myself as I can, but I have a feeling it's just a matter of time until I sink down into.
Yeah, I think I'm feeling it and I'm in denial. Natalie, my middle kid, is fighting something off and everybody I know is fighting something. So I'm just going to pretend I don't feel the sore throat that's brewing.
Oh, no.
In the background. But anyway,
yeah,
hey, you know, I read this is totally not work related, but I read an interesting article this morning about David Letterman.
Oh,
and this is if for the listeners, it's in the Washington Post. It's called The Last Legend of Late Night TV. And for people who have kind of followed Letterman in recent years, like he looks like Santa Claus now. Like he has a big gray beard and he says he's going to like everyone always asks if he's going to shave it off. He says, no, like I'm this is me now. But what blew my mind was for maybe our younger listeners might not remember who David Letterman was. He was like the king of late night TV, epic, you know, comedian. And maybe people around the world don't realize either that like he had a legendary feud with Jay Leno. You know, they grew up in kind of stand up together and then were fighting to like who would get the Tonight Show and who would have better ratings. And Letterman was kind of infamous for being, just hard on himself, like very insecure and always wanting to be number one. He was just obsessive about everything. And he, like, I can't remember how many years ago, you know, he retired to do other things, including like auto racing and stuff. But it blew my mind. So this is a quote from David Letterman in this interview. Basically, he says that he's a completely different person now, completely different person. He doesn't miss it at all. And he says, it was the late night wars. Oh, Jay's winning. Nobody likes me. Everybody likes Jay, he says. Now I think, what was that? Who's at war here? There's no war anymore. And I think, why was I in the war? And it blows my mind. Like, this show and this like battle, it was his identity. It was like giving him all this emotional angst. I mean, they were very public about it. And like 10 years later, he's like, who was that guy? Like, that was stupid. I'm a completely different person. And it just like people often will say like, oh, people don't change. You know, it's, you can't change people. People change all the time. And like, this was a crazy thing to read how Letterman, it's because he had a son and it's like, he became totally into fatherhood and all this kind of stuff. And it just blows my mind. And it makes me think like for all of us, like, you know, like if I think about myself, it's like, I kind of still am bitter about that old boss I had a decade ago, you know, like I'll show him, you know, and it's like, why am I holding on to that? You know, and like we're so passionate about certain things. Like maybe we need to start letting go of some of these old battles and stuff.
I totally agree. You know, that kind of reminds me, a lot of SNL alumni tend to come out years later and say, you know, that's a really rough schedule. I was never really able to be with my family. And I think it might have been, I'm not sure which one, but one of them said, you know, he was, you know, finally got to sleep next to his wife, put his baby down, and then got a call at 3 a.m. for a wig fitting.
Oh, wow.
And he had to run over and do that. So it's kind of almost like a 24/7 job because they have so many emerging ideas. So it was funny to see that because it was like, you know, you think it's this dream, right? You're on TV, you're making money, it's funny. And then once they step out, they seem to have a really nice perspective about like, wow, you know, I can't believe I kept up with that pace and put myself through the ringer. And I think you're right, you know, people do change, but I think it's also because of circumstance, right? Yeah, we learn to adapt to, you know, crazy hectic schedules. And then once you're out of that, you're like, geez, what was I thinking? This is so much better.
Yeah. It's almost like you got to detox from it. Like you can't see like what the options are, what else is out there. And I guess like, I don't know, in other interviews with like famous people and stuff, I guess it's often that they say like, oh, you know, like I was so insecure. I just assume all of this is going to go away. So I've got to get it while I can. And maybe that insecurity like drives, you know, the achievement, you know, profile or whatever it is. But, you know, it's just a good reminder for all of us to kind of keep it in check or to take that little mini break and be like, okay, am I where I really want to be right now?
There's that feeling of being done, right? Of getting there and now I'm safe. But in Hollywood, I just don't think that really exists. You never feel like you're done. Just like in any career, I feel like you're not like, okay, I'm on top. I can finally relax. It's not like that. You always feel like there's another step.
Yeah, I think so.
But super interesting.
Well, I know we're going to answer listener questions in a minute, but we always start with Fan Mail Friday. That was our new thing. And an iTunes review of the week, right?
Yes, absolutely. We actually have 3 Fan Mail Fridays.
Nice. Mail is starting to crush us. It's coming in good. What do we got?
In droves. And one's from Twitter, and it's from Gareth. And he says, just listen to my first At Cruise podcast, the one with At Impactful Coach. Great listen and powerful advice. # strategic learning.
Woo, yay. Extra points for hashtags so that other people can discover us. I like that.
The next one's from Sandra, and she says, thanks again for the podcast. It's having a huge influence on the way that I manage and lead. Many thanks. Nice, short, sweet, and simple. Thank you, Sandra. And from Steve, he says, already ordered new glasses, and I can drive my van over a bag that I will leave to my children. Great work, y'all.
Now, not all of our listeners, they didn't catch those episodes. They're not going to know what Steve's talking about. But like the bag was was Dave Munson, right? So that's Saddleback leather, which makes bags. And everything is designed to leave to your kids. And the glasses are the sunglasses, which I'm now blanking.
Peter, and it was at Randolph.
Randolph glasses. Massachusetts. Yeah. And there is a crazy YouTube video where you can literally drive over these sunglasses and they like flatten, but they don't shatter. I'm like, how is that even possible? But anyway, cool.
That blew my mind too. And they have like 200 steps to make one pair of glasses.
Yeah,
super wild. But yeah, so that's really crazy.
So we're costing Steve money. It's like every show we put on, he's, you know, he's buying stuff.
But they'll last him a lifetime, and that's what matters. And our iTunes review of the week is from Zim Tim. And he says, genuine advice from genuine people. My wife and I have listened to all of the productivity podcasts and like to start the day with Lead X. Thank you for putting together great guests and talking about highly relevant topics. That is such a nice review. Thank you, Zim Tim. And please, you know, send us your shipping address to info@leadx.org because, of course, whenever you guys leave a great iTunes review and rating, we love to send you some swag as a thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for everyone who's subscribed and left a rating on iTunes. It's the single best favor you can do for us. If you didn't get a chance to do it yet, just go to leadx.org/subscribe, and that will bounce you to the right place where you can just click that subscribe or leave a ratings button. And don't forget just to go to leadx.org. We've got a new homepage that's out where we are now debuting a free course of the day. And if you click then also on the events tab, you can see all of our upcoming live webinars where you get to ask questions and interact with some of our podcast guests in a live training format.
Well, we've got so much going on.
We do.
All right. Are we ready for questions now?
Yeah, I think so. And Facebook friends, again, feel free to click like and share and type any questions you have, and we will try to get to those.
All right. The first one is about leadership, and it's from Don. So he says, soon I'll be the director of sales and marketing. This is a step up for me and my career. The woman who's currently in the role was a coworker of mine about 15 years ago. My new boss says the reason she's having the role taken away from her is because she has no leadership skills, lacks the skills to do much of the job, and her staff now hates her. My direct boss would like to cut her loose. However, the vice president has insisted that they offer to demote her at less pay. She may be feeling embarrassed and want to leave, but I have to wrap my head around the fact that she may stay. Any advice on how to work with this person?
Yeah, and Tara, it's interesting. Some of the questions we get, it's sort of like themes, because we've had this question not too long ago about, I think in the other case, it was someone's promoted in, but the old boss is still there, like physically, yeah, even though they're not in the role and they were getting undermined or may have been. So for this question, and Tara, I know you always lead with this too. Like, my recommendation is you just have that conversation directly as quickly as possible. If she stays, you know, I would just say, hey, listen, you know, this is a little awkward for me. You know, coming into your old role and having you on the team. I don't know if it's awkward for you, but I just want to say, you know, always respected you. I look forward to partnering with you to make the team a success. And do you have any advice for me since you've been working with these people? And, you know, given that this person was moved out of the role, I don't know how much weight I would put into, you know, her perspective or advice, but you never know. I mean, there's always multiple sides to every story. And I think that's it. I think you just get it out on the table, acknowledge the situation, you know, make sure they know that you're not holding something against them or going to try to make them quit or whatever that's going to make it awkward, and just acknowledge the situation, see how you guys can, you know, work together.
I'm totally in the same boat on that. I'm a big proponent of, hey, just lay down on the table and then there's no kind of unspoken awkwardness. But I do wonder, you know, I think it's interesting that you say, hey, maybe we can kind of partner, because I wonder if that would that start maybe a weird dynamic? Because now she feels like she can encroach and kind of come into your office sometimes and give advice. I'm not sure. That's the one part that really stumped me.
It's a good question. Like, maybe a hair on the side of being, you know, too nice. And there would have to be some guardrails or something put on the relationship, because you don't want to open the door for that person to think that they are still the boss or they're second in charge or whatever. So I don't know. I guess you'd have to sort of see what the reaction is.
It's a tough one. I was thinking about it this morning, trying to think of, oh God, if I were in, you know, Don's shoes, how would I want to approach this? And I 100% think that you should talk to the person, but I wonder if you should almost kind of err on the side of, I know you used to have this job before, but I'm fully committed to making sure you feel productive and engaged and respected in your current role and that you work well with the team.
Love
that. And who knows, you know, she might kind of really feel great not having as much responsibility as she did before, you know? And I would also just kind of focus on the other coworkers as well, because I get the sense that if she wasn't very well liked, it'll be right, awkward for them to work with her, and you wouldn't want that to mess with the dynamic. But it is a tough situation. But yeah, good luck with that. Let us know how it goes.
Yes.
And we have another question from Melissa, and she says, I work at a major health system and I'm in the final semester of graduate school. One of our CEOs is a mentor for my final graduate project. I only have 3 additional meetings with him through the end of the year before I graduate. And I traditionally drive the questions, which leads to very thoughtful discussions. And then I shift back to talk about my project. I'm always very cognizant of the time since I want to respect his schedule. As a mentoree slash protege, how can I make the most out of the meetings with my mentor and make them mutually beneficial? And what's the best way to bring up a discussion with my mentor regarding a future job opportunity, particularly one that is aligned with my graduate degree and would provide leadership growth?
Yeah. So, you know, how do you make the most out of this mentorship relationship and make it two-way? And I think, you know, I'm not sure exactly what the mentoring conversations have been around with that project, but most mentoring conversations are about success in the current role and getting ready for the next role or the future. So it would be very normal and I think almost expected that you have that conversation with the CEO and say, hey, I know we've been talking about this project and as it's coming to a close, you know, I was hoping you'd be open to hearing about my career goals and giving me some advice about that. And that would be a very normal thing to do. And then, you know, again, you need to be ready to say, well, I think in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, this is the kind of role I'd like to have here. And you can kind of get a check from your mentor, like, do you see this as a possibility or do you see my future in a, you know, different direction? And then the bigger question is like, okay, so what do I need to do to be successful and to achieve that in the years ahead? Who do I need to meet? What experiences should I have? You know, what do I need to learn? What do I need to know? And I think that part of it would be normal. And I'd be surprised if the CEO, you know, doesn't embrace that conversation and continue the mentoring relationship, you know, moving forward. I struggle a little bit more with like, so now how does the mentee provide value to the mentor? I'm not saying it can't be done. And in fact, like I see it on LinkedIn and stuff, it's sort of a hot topic. Like, every senior executive is trying to find a millennial mentor. So someone that's newer in the company, younger in the company to like mentor up. And I'm not exactly sure, like I laughed here because I'm like, you know, like you always make the avocado toast jokes. Is this like, send me a millennial so I know what this avocado toast is all about. Like, what the heck are you asking them? Like, what is this thing called Snapchat? You know, like, you just sound like such a dinosaur. Like, send me the millennials. You know, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Apparently, this is a hot thing. So, you know, I think, I don't know the ages and demographics and everything, but like, you know, Melissa, maybe there's, whether it's technology or a different viewpoint or I don't know what, generational viewpoint, maybe there's a way to provide value in that direction. But I don't know, because I've often mentored people, but usually it's they're entrepreneurs and it's fairly one way. I mean, I get things out of it like, you know, I enjoy giving back and I do learn a little bit about their part of the world. I was mentoring for like a year, a nonprofit leader in Pakistan. I found that very interesting, but it wasn't like, you know, he was asking me 3 questions and I'm asking him 3 questions back and forth. He did teach me some things, but it wasn't that kind of a setup. So I struggle a little bit. I don't know, Tara, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree that I think it's completely normal. And it sounds like she's a little worried about taking too much of his time, which I totally get. You know, when it's a CEO of the company that you're working for, that can feel like you're stepping on toes. But if you have the allotted time, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, hey, in our last 10 minutes, do you mind if we just talk about my goals and whether or not you think I'm in the right place or if there's anyone else I should talk to? And I also think there's nothing wrong with looking around and finding other mentors, you know, like the CEO sounds like he's been very, or she's been very helpful. But there might be other people who are kind of a step ahead, maybe, but the closer to where you are, so they can kind of give you a little more insightful.
I think it'd be good to get those different perspectives, right?
Yeah.
So people who've had different experiences in the company or might be a little closer to the career path, you know, that you've got planned.
Exactly. I feel like you can find someone who's kind of, it's like a lateral move almost, right? Where it's like, hey, you've been where I've been, you know, right. What did you do? I think that could be great too. I do get the sense that people think of mentorships as like a lifetime appointment sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes they can be, and that would be awesome. But I also think there's value to, you know, checking out other insightful people that are maybe around you and in your network, because that could benefit you a lot too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, Tara, we don't have any new questions from our Facebook friends, but I did get one productivity question earlier today that I wanted to bring up. And it's interesting because it's not so much that the question is that new, but it's that my answer has changed. So something I get asked almost weekly, and we may have addressed it on the show, I can't remember, is, hey, Kevin, I want to try your crazy idea of like, throw out the to-do list, live from my calendar. If I really want to get it done, then I pick a day, a time, duration, and schedule it, and then just live from that calendar. And the question I always get is like, it's hard. So like, how do I get started? And the typical problems are, you know, people bite off more than they can chew. You know, things you think are going to take half an hour, take an hour and a half, or you know, forget about all the fires that have to be put out or the sick kid that you have to take care of. So your days get really messed up. And, you know, I kind of was talking to someone else and I changed my approach. Like if I still think it's great to get rid of the to-do list and live from the calendar, but I think people should ease into it. And a good way to ease into it is just time block your mornings. So don't, like, you know, that master to-do list can still sit there and that's your security blanket and that's where everything can sit for a while, but get in the habit of just saying, all right, well, let me schedule from, you know, 7 a.m. to noon or 8 a.m. to noon and in, you know, 30-minute chunks. Make sure there's 30 minutes for my most important task really early. And I'm even going to put that 30-minute time block on email and social media. And I'm going to give myself a break or whatever it is. And then that way you can jump, you know, back into your old ways in the afternoon. And so if all of a sudden there's unplanned for things, if you can just kind of get to noon or get through lunch on the calendar, that's a win. And then as you get used to scheduling the important stuff and moving the important stuff into your mornings, more and more you can start scheduling your afternoons as well. But I, you know, Tara, I was thinking, it's like for most of us, well, I won't speak for you or for others. I'll speak for myself. You know what? It's like, I'm best in the morning when I wake up, I've kind of woken up for about half an hour, had a cup of coffee, and boom, I'm ready to go. Maybe a second cup of coffee. And I'm really productive until about noon. And look, I'm not like sleeping all afternoon, but I'm not nearly as productive in the afternoon. So to me, more and more, extreme productivity is about like conquer your before noon hours. And then whatever the heck happens, the rest of the day is fine.
I love this idea so much because I've talked about it before on the show a little bit about how I've been trying to transition from my to-do into my scheduling. And as we've both experienced, I have not been perfect about my scheduling. So it's been hard to do that. But the idea of just blocking out your morning is excellent because, like you said, if things come up, it's like, okay, well, I have the afternoon to tackle this. And if it derails my afternoon a little bit, it won't really matter so much. I really like that. And I do feel like I tend to think of myself as not a morning person, but it really is the most productive time of my day. I just, you know, I'm like, no, I need to wake up slowly. But I probably could stand to just, you know, front load the morning and then do what needs to get done in the afternoon. I really dig that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Someone from our Facebook audience said, good, I need this. A client just gave me a 2018 calendar. And that's true. Like 2018 is right around the corner, right? And we looked into, there's a download at, I think it's masteryourminutes.com. It's like a one sheet. It's got a cheesy title, like how millionaires plan their day. But it's this checklist of things like drinking your water, doing your workouts, all these kinds of things. And then, you know, blocks of time to schedule your day, but it's not perfect. So we looked into creating like our own master planner, you know, diary book and everything, but it's a lot of work and it's so tough to print those books up because they're like special binding and stuff that without knowing you're going to get like thousands of orders, I didn't see that it made sense to do it. But I should think about that, like, you know, updating that calendar because I haven't looked at it in like probably 3 or 4 years. And I think with all of this sort of new wisdom we've got from people who've been using it and others, we could probably update it for 2018. So we'll have to work on that.
Yeah, that sounds great. Even just one sheet just to help you get started. I think that does a lot, you know, of good.
So. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So I think it's time to tease what's coming up next.
Absolutely.
We have some really big names. It's kind of super cool. We have Alan Alda.
The Alan Alda. Yep.
Star of MASH, winner of 7 Emmys. He's been nominated for an Oscar, and he's going to discuss his passion for science and leadership. And in a 2-part interview on Monday and Tuesday, we have Gabriel Weiner, I want to say.
I think so.
And his Kickstarter was, I think it shattered the records on the Kickstarter website for most funded app. It's a learning, language learning app, if I'm not mistaken. And he speaks about 6 languages now and counting. So he's got a really great approach to that, which is cool, because I'm trying to learn Spanish and it's not going so well.
Well, and just to add to that, what's interesting, I found interesting about this conversation is his whole new method, and he's got the book and now the app, which was the biggest one, as you said, is that like you should not learn a language by learning the translation. So the normal thing would be like, you want to learn Spanish? Okay, here's a picture of an apple and it says the word apple and here's now the Spanish word. And then they'll like show you the Spanish word and you're supposed to figure out apple, or they'll say apple and you're supposed to figure out the Spanish word. He's saying you've got to get rid of your native language. Like you can't just rapidly translate everything. So his method is more about like seeing the apple without, so you just know the Spanish word for that apple thing without the word there, right? And then he groups these things into pictures. So whatever, I don't know, whatever objects would sit next to an apple, it's sort of a natural setting. And there's apparently you get like 10% improvement in memory and you know, learning by doing it that way. And I did that show. My son is studying Spanish. I don't even know how to pronounce like the L's or Y's or something like that. I'm like, I can't even help him study. So I got like Duolingo, you know, on the iPhone. And very cool, like cool app. And Duolingo is like killing it as a company. But every screen is like, here's the English, what's the Spanish? Or here's the Spanish, what's the English? And I'm like, it's hard to go through this when this guy, who's supposedly the genius on languages, is saying that's the wrong way to learn a language. But very interesting conversation, I guess, is my point. Very interesting.
Yeah, it blew my mind too. He learned Russian in like 9 months or something.
Amazing.
Crazy. That's crazy. Yes. And then we have Sarah Margulis. She was a contestant on Shark Tank, and she's the entrepreneur, one of the entrepreneurs rather, behind several apps, but her most famous one is Honey Fund. And she's going to give us her tips on success. So
everybody will get to hear what it's like to work for Mr. Wonderful on the Shark Tank. That's who she's working with.
It's a pretty action-packed week, really.
You got it. Another action-packed week from LeadX.
I mean, one of many, but
yes, geez. Of course.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone, before we go, don't forget to go to LeadX.org/subscribe to subscribe and rate the LeadX show on iTunes. Go to LeadX.org/AskKevin. I can't even say my own name. Ask Kevin to submit your question for the show. And Facebook friends, again, like, share, like any comments in the feed. And listen to our daily show. We're, you know, you need us more than just one day a week. And Tara, I think that's just under 30 minutes. Anything else before we wrap up?
No, but I think the Spanish word for apple is manzana.
Manzana, you're right. I think I learned that in lesson 1 of Duolingo. And I'm really impressed that you got that recall.
Hey, we're getting there one step at a time, right?
Love it. Until next time, friends, remember that leadership is not a choice, because leadership is all about influence. We are leaders. We are influencing people all of the time. Be mindful with your influence. Lead with intent.